So I pray, and she's like, okay, it's good. And I'm like, okay, so do you have, is it pain right here? And she explains it to me again, skin running away from my body. So I pray again, it's good, 100%. And I'm not getting it because she's going like this and stuff. And so finally the translator comes back over, and I had like a bad itching, like right in this spot, like earlier that day. Like it was just like weird, like just a lot of itching. So I was like, does it itch? And she's like, no, it doesn't itch. If this is already after I'd prayed for it. And so finally I get a translator. I'm like, ask her like where, how, if she's healed or whatever. And she's like, I was healed the first time. And I was like, oh, okay. So I've been praying, sitting here praying for this lady, and it didn't seem terminal to me. So I stood up and they said, there's some more people to pray for. So the worship leader of the church came and said, yeah, pray for this lady. So I go and sit down with her. And I'm like, what's your name? The first thing you're supposed to ask somebody if you're going to pray for them is, what's your name? So she said, Maria de Gracias. And the same thing. And I was like, hey, I just prayed for a lady that had the exact same name. And she goes, oh, glory to God, she said. And she got this big smile on her face. And so I'm like, hey, what's wrong? She's like, I'm depressed. I've got pain in my head. I've been depressed for years. I've got pain in my leg. I've got cancer in my shoulder. I've got pain here, all this stuff. And I'm like, oh, wow, that's a lot of stuff. So I was like, okay, well, let's, I was like, what, when did this start? You know, when, and we're talking, I got a translator this time who's pretty good, but he understood what she was saying, but couldn't really convey to me what she was saying real well. So I got bits and pieces. So through the story, so I was like, okay, well, let's just pray. So we start praying. She's like, oh, I got pain in my back. And I was like, well, did you have pain in your back when you came in? She's like, no. And I was like, well, that's weird. So I was like, pain in the back, leave. And she's like, now it's in my neck. And I was like, well, how's your back? She's like, it's fine. And I was like, that's really weird. So I'm like thinking, spirit of infirmity, it's moving. The pain either gets worse or it moves in the body. So I ask her, I go back and I was like, well, what happened? Like, did something happen, like, when you were young or something very traumatic? She goes, my parents left me when I was a kid, and I grew up on the streets. They abandoned me. Excuse me. And I was like, well, you need to forgive your parents, because she just wasn't getting better. I was like, because a lot of times unforgiveness will block healing in people's lives, and as soon as they will choose to forgive, a lot of times the unforgiveness, when it comes in, is when the sickness actually comes in the body. It's like the open door. And so I was like, can you forgive him? She's like, no, I'm not going to forgive him. And I'm like, well, we're done. You know, I'm not going to pray for you to be healed if you're not going to forgive. And I just felt like the Lord said, tell her that forgiving her parents is not saying that what they did to her was okay. Because I think a lot of times when we think that we've got to forgive somebody, we think that what we're saying is actually, oh, what you did to me is okay. And forgiveness is not that. Forgiveness is saying, I release you from my vengeance and my need for you to be punished for what you did to me. I release it to God, because the Bible says that vengeance is the Lord's. And so you release them to God. And she goes, oh, I can do that. So she prays. And I don't even know what she's saying. She prays. And so then we start praying again for the pain. And she's like, okay, the pain in my neck's gone, but now it's down in my leg. I was like, okay. And so it moves into another leg, and then all of a sudden it moves to two places. She goes, the pain's now in my leg and in my neck. And she goes, and she's barely talking. She's like, telling this guy this thing. And she's like, and I can't, something's grabbed a hold of my neck, and I feel like something's trying to kill me. And I was like, okay, well, I'm going to go get somebody else. So, because I prayed and bound all the spirits I knew to bound and all this stuff. I'm just thinking nothing's happening, you know, except for this pain's just moving all over the place. And the night before, the guy, Randy, was teaching about how if the pain gets worse, a lot of times that's a good sign, because that means it's a spirit of infirmity, and you just bind the spirit of infirmity and it goes. And he says one of the things that happens in Brazil is whenever somebody prays for somebody to get healed, a lot of times they die. They get worse and they die. And Randy said, don't mess up my message to the interpreter. And as I thought about that, I thought, well, maybe it's the spirit of infirmity, and all they do is stir it up so much, because we don't recognize what it is, that the spirit just kills the person as we pray, because we don't recognize the authority that we have in the name of Jesus. So I go and I get the director of our school is there. His name's Max. I was like, Max, I'm stuck. And he's like, what's going on? I go, I got two spirits of infirmity and they're not leaving. He's like, what do you mean two spirits of infirmity? I was like, one went to the leg and one went to the neck. I was like, so I think there's two of them. He goes, that's not spirits of infirmity. That's demonic. We need to do deliverance. And I was like, okay. He's like, do you want to do it? And I was like, no. Because there's like 11 steps to deliverance. And I didn't remember any of them. So I don't remember any of the steps. He's like, do you have the card that has the 11 steps on them? And I was like, there's a card? And he's like, yeah. He's like, we should have gave you guys those before we left. He's like, let me grab somebody from the church. You know, just go back over with her. Let me grab somebody from the church. And service was getting ready to start. So I go back to her, and I was like, how are you feeling? She's like, I'm feeling peaceful, a little more peace. And I was like, okay, well, God, we bless the peace, and we ask for it to increase right now. I don't think one time that I asked for her body to be healed, because I'm dealing with these spirits that are running all over the body. Right about that time, Max comes back, and he says, hey, we're not going to do the deliverance now. We'll just wrap it up. Tell her to come up for prayer if she wants after the service, you know, as we're getting ready for service start. Because a lot of times deliverances in South America are messy. I mean, they're people screaming and going crazy and chairs flying, and it can get messy. So, and the church didn't really have a room to do it. So I was like, hey, Maria, I was like, you know, I just want to just encourage you as we go to worship, just continue to worship. And I believe God's going to continue to give you peace, and he's going to continue to strengthen you. And she's like, yeah, yeah. And so I go away, and I was like, man, nothing happened. And the lady had a cane. You know, I didn't know what that was about. I just figured, you know, she had a cane because she was sitting down the whole time. So I left, and I was like, man, I'm glad that's over. Well, the next thing I know, they asked for testimonies to come up on the stage, and here comes this lady waving her cane up on the stage, walking and saying, glory to God, glory to God. And I was looked up at it, and I was sitting beside my teacher, Max, and I was like, Max, that's that lady that needed deliverance. And he said, it is? And I was like, yeah. I go, what? And I'm thinking in my mind, I was like, what is she doing? She should sit down. Like, nothing happened. Like, you know, like, oh, I'm like, I'm starting to get embarrassed. I'm like, oh, my goodness, this is going to be terrible. I'm like, oh, what is she going to say? You know, I'm all nervous. She gets up there. But first, there's a guy up there with this, with a back. You know, Randy had gone for the metal thing and the backs again. And they showed his back. He had a scar this long on his back from, like, here to here. And so he lifted up his shirt, and they showed the scar. I mean, it was a huge scar. He just recently had his stitches out. And he's still kind of moving gingerly, you know, like this. He's moving around. But he says he believes God healed him. And Randy's like, well, check it out, you know, check it out. The man just goes like this. Boom! And puts both palms flat on the floor. I mean, this guy's like this tall. And just goes down and puts both palms on the floor, and he comes back up, and he's like, I'm totally healed. And Randy's going crazy. Randy's like jumping. We're all jumping like, yeah, like this is awesome, because there had been some other testimonies. Then this lady comes up, Maria de Gracias, and she's like, she said, I couldn't walk anywhere. I always had people to have to help me to walk places, and God's totally healed me. And I'm thinking, I didn't know she couldn't walk like that. You know, she didn't tell me that, or the translator didn't tell me that. One of the pastors from the church gets up there, and he's like beaming from ear to ear. And he's like, this lady could not walk anywhere by herself. She always had to have at least two people help her to walk anywhere. He's like, she is totally healed. And she's walking back and forth on the stage. And I'm like, this is amazing. Like, I didn't know she got healed. And so, you know, we go pray for more people that night and seeing people healed. One of the girls that came forward that night, she said she had pain in her arm right here. And it was funny because we were given words of knowledge. I had a couple of different things I didn't know what to share, but one of them was pain in the arm on this bone specifically right here. And she said that she had pain there. And I was like, hey, I kind of felt that before. And I was like, does it affect your movement of your hand? You know, she's like, yeah, it really does. And so praying for her, and she's like getting 70%, 80%. She told me 98% better. I'm 98% better. Still feels, you know, little something in there. And I said, and I just had a picture of Jesus wanting to give her a big bunch of flowers. I didn't know what else to pray. And I was like, I didn't know what else to do. So I was like, hey, I just had a picture of Jesus giving you, wants to give you a big bunch of flowers. And she goes, oh, like this. And she pulls her hand back. And like this look of surprise just came over her face. And she goes, it's completely healed. And she starts moving her wrist around. She goes, when I went to get the flowers, like, it just completely got healed. And she's moving her wrist all around. She goes, and look at this. She's going like this. Look at it. Look. And I'm like, yeah, that's great. You know, like, what? What is that? She goes, I couldn't do this when I came in tonight. The pain was so much that I couldn't make a fist. I couldn't grasp. She's like, I am completely healed. And I'm like, that is awesome. And we prayed for more people. I'm totally forgetting all the people that I prayed for that night. But, like, every single one was saying that they were healed 100%. One of the interesting stories was this woman came forward, and she said, I got pain in my stomach, gas. And I was like, okay. Well, how long have you had it? 3 years. Okay, well, how did it start? She goes, I used to never have pain in my stomach, you know, through the long translating and conversation. Never used to have pain in my stomach. But I went to the doctor, and he told me there was a problem down there, and I had pain. Ever since that day, I've had pain. And it was like one of those, aha, here's where this problem started. You know, like, as you'd pray for people, you'd keep getting these things like, aha, this is it. Aha, this is the door that was open. So I was like, okay, you believed a lie. The doctor lied to you. You didn't have pain in your stomach. He told you you had pain in your stomach. Now you do. And you need to break the power of that lie. You need to repent and ask Jesus to forgive you for believing this lie. And I was like, I'm not going to lead you in a prayer. I want you to do it. And so she prays. I was like, check your pain. I'm completely healed, she said. It's gone. It's completely gone. For 3 years, the doctor told her something, and for 3 years, she believed that she had pain in her stomach, and the pain was so much that she came forward for prayer. The doctor said she'd always have it. And so just her praying and repenting for that pain in her stomach, it was gone just like that. So that was pretty cool. But you just would see these things, aha, aha, like that's it. Like this is where it's at. The last night, Randy comes forward for, it was more of an impartation night. It wasn't supposed to be healing night, but God started giving Randy these words of knowledge. So Randy said, okay, team, come up. We're going to do words of knowledge. And he told all of us that we weren't going to do words of knowledge that night. Two nights before, when we first got to the church, I had a picture of a cut in the back of the head, almost like a smile from ear to ear. And I didn't give it that night because I was like, you know, what is that? Like, I didn't know what it was. So I didn't have anything else to give, and I was just like, well, I see a picture of a cut in the back of the head from here to here. And, you know, they just are going so quick that you don't know. The people are standing up. Sometimes they stand up slow, so you don't know all the time if somebody stands up. So I forget what happened that night. I prayed for some people, and they were healed. But one of the things, there was a man there that had been in an accident 2 years ago and had been in a wheelchair for 2 years, had no feeling at all from the waist down and no feeling in his hands. And so he's sitting there, and Randy goes over to pray with him. And Randy told us, he's like, don't pull people out of wheelchairs. He's like, don't, unless God like tells you to pull people out of wheelchairs, don't go up and do it. Because a lot of people have tried to pull them out of wheelchairs, and it really hurts them emotionally when people keep trying to pull them out of wheelchairs. He's like, so go for like little things. If they don't have feeling in their toes, say, try to do something in your toes. And he's like, see where God's working and bless that. And it'll, sometimes he says God will start up in the back and work his way down, and sometimes he'll start in the toes and work his way up. So he had been praying for this guy, and the guy started moving his toes. He said he hadn't been able to do that in 2 years. And by this time, a huge crowd had gathered around Randy. I mean, there were people stacking up those plastic chairs, like about this high, and standing to look down in at this guy. And I'm thinking, well, that's pretty dangerous. So anyway, they keep praying for this guy. They keep praying for this guy. The guy stands up out of the wheelchair and starts walking. At first, with some help from people, he had got feeling back in his hands. He got feeling back in all of his legs, and he walked for the first time in 2 years. And so everybody in the whole place is going crazy, you know, like, yeah, yeah. And I go over and I turn around, and there's Maria de Gracias, this lady that I had prayed for. And I was like, Maria, like, what's going on? I go up and talk to her. I grab my translator guy who could translate really well. And I was like, what happened? You know, what's going on? She said, I was going to have surgery on this leg. They told me that I'd have to have surgery, and I couldn't walk. The pain was so bad, people had to help me walk everywhere. And God totally healed it. I can walk. That night, she didn't have her cane with her even. She had a big old bag she was carrying, and she's just smiling and all this stuff. And I'm like, this is so weird. And I was like, Maria, when were you healed? I didn't even know. I was like, when did God heal you? She goes, well, when you prayed for me. And I was like, really? Like, I didn't know that. Like, because a lot of times I was praying for people, I didn't feel anything. You know, that some people would feel stuff when they lay hands on them, they'd feel the fire in their hands, so they'd know that people would be healed. And I was like, really? That's awesome. And so she was really appreciative. And she said, and all the pains left in my head, she goes, all the pressure, all the stress is gone. She said, my shoulder where the cancer was is totally feels fine. She goes, I don't have pain anywhere in my body after you prayed for me. And I was like, really? Like, one of those things, like, it's almost incredulous. It's hard to believe, you know, that God would do that through me. And one of the things I asked Randy, we got to eat lunch with Randy. I said, Randy, what's the difference between hope, faith, and presumption? Because I was really, you know, as I prayed for people in hope, I didn't see anything happen. I kept hoping somebody would get healed. And then there's also presumption, like, you know, pulling somebody out of a wheelchair and God doesn't heal them. And he's like, hope is when you are believing for something that's not yet happened. Faith is believing something that's already been received. And he said, when we pray for the sick, it's already been received. Jesus made provision for healing in his body when he died on the cross through the crucifixion. And so when we pray for healing, we should pray in faith because it's already been received. We just have to come into agreement with that which God's already done. And he said, in presumptions, when you work something up, you don't really take time to wait on God or wait on the Holy Spirit. So that's the difference. And it really kind of made sense to me because I think a lot of times I've prayed in hope for people. I remembered back to even a thing that God was showing me when I was praying for the guy with the knee, that I kept praying, hoping that he would be healed. And God never told us to pray in hope. He told us to pray in faith or to lay hands in faith, and we will see the sick recover. So anyway, we're about ready to leave that night, and this girl walks up holding this baby. And she asked my friend, the translator, she said, is that the guy that gave the word about the cut in the back of his neck? And he said, he asked me, he's like, was that you? And I said, yeah, that was me. And she said, well, what does it mean? Was it like, is it going to happen to somebody? Or did it happen to somebody? And I was like, I don't know. I just saw a cut in the back of somebody's neck. And she got tears in her eyes. And she said, when I was 10 years old, I cut the back of my neck from here to here and tried to kill myself. And she goes, what does that mean that you saw that? And I was like, well, I think it means God wants to heal you. I was like, do you have pain from that? She's like, sometimes my head hurts, but it's not really a lot of pain. And I said, well, what happened? You know, what happened when that happened? She said, my mom died when I was 10 years old, and I couldn't handle it. I just cut the back of my head. And I'm thinking, you know, who would do that back there? Like, that doesn't seem to make sense. Usually you go for... Anyway, I put my hand on the back of her head. She said, do you feel it? And I could feel the scar on the back of her head. And it was weird because it was one of those words of knowledge that I was like, yeah, I don't even know what this is. You know, I'm just going to give it. And so we prayed for just the mother's love to be restored in her life because, you know, a lot of times we say that God has fatherly love, but he also has motherly love. And a motherly love is a protecting love. It's a embracing love. It's a comforting love. And for somebody to grow up without a father in their life, it's a father more as a, you can think of a father's love more like an umbrella, protects people. But a mother's love is more like a bowl, provides a safe place for people to be in. So to be without a fatherly love is, you know, we've always recognized that's a bad thing for people. And you can point a lot of things in people's lives, a lot of problems in people's lives to that, to lack of father's love. But there's also the motherly love that was absent. And we just prayed for the mother's love to just be filled in this lady. I mean, she just started to weep and cry, and it was awesome because a lot of times we people didn't come forward for prayer for physical healing. They came forward for prayer for emotional healing. And God would heal them emotionally just as much as he would heal them physically. And sometimes when they were healed emotionally, that was the key to them receiving their healing physically. So it was a pretty amazing trip. Randy said, and he said two different things, but he said he had never been on a trip like this and seen God healing as many people as were healed before on our trip. It started out slow. But he also said he has a short-term memory, so maybe he said that later. So maybe he had experiences like that. But Randy was so excited and so pumped up about what God was doing. I mean, he was jumping up and down, and we saw blind eyes open, people that were completely blind being able to see. Oh, I did get a chance to pray for a deaf mute guy. I forgot about that. God was opening his ears. He could hear about 80% by the time we were done praying. And he started speaking. And the people that were there that was his friends said they had never heard him speak ever, about a 20-year-old boy. And he was. We had him close his eyes because he was a real good lip reader. So I couldn't tell if he was just reading our lips or what. So I was like, close your eyes and let's talk to you. And we started talking to him. And he's shaking his head. He can hear what's going on and stuff like that. And then he started talking. And here was an interesting thing with that. As we were praying, like nothing was happening. And so I was like, God, how do you talk to a deaf mute person? You can't, your communication is really limited. So like, God, you're going to have to tell me what the source of this thing was. And I felt like God said when he was in his mother's womb, he heard something that was very, very bad. And it damaged him, and he made an inner vow with himself that hearing was dangerous. And I would have probably dismissed that, like, probably 4 weeks ago. Is like, yeah, right, like, that's goofy. But this is the thing that I got. And so I am one of the things that why they encouraged me to pray against that was a couple weeks before our teacher said that when he was born, he was without his mom for 6 weeks. He had to be in the hospital for 6 weeks by himself in like an incubator because of some problems that he had. He said during that time it became very hard for him to receive love. He was detached from his mother's love, and God healed and restored that in his life. But it went back to that time when he was just born. And I was thinking, well, that just seems weird to me. Like a lot of times too, they would say that people that have had trouble in childbirth, when they were born, that their mothers had trouble with them, they would have lots of problems, like almost always fears, like fear of water, fear of drowning, fear of claustrophobia, stuff like that. A lot of times those can almost always be traced back to like trauma and childbirth, which seems weird to me and is totally off my scale as far as like a reference point. But I'm like, hey, if it's working for these people, then there might be some truth in it. So I wasn't seeing anything happen with this deaf mute guy. And I prayed. I said, God, would break the vow that he made that hearing was dangerous. And I took my hand off his ear and he's like, I can hear. It was like almost immediately after praying that, like God opened up his hearing. And so you never know. Like one of the things I think that is so neat is that so many times sickness and disease is tied to an open door where people open the door and allow something to come in. Maybe even the parents have opened the door and allowed something to come in. But there's usually a root cause to the problem. And the cool thing is, even if you can't like figure out what the root of the problem is, or you feel like you're not doing anything, the grace of God wanting to heal people will just cover all that. You know, it's like somebody was praying, talking to me on the team, and they're like, you know, oh, I didn't do this. I forgot that step. And oh, man, I probably should have did this. Like, oh, man. And they're really beating themselves up. And I was like, hey, do you think God's up there being like, well, I was going to totally heal this person, but since they missed step 2 and 3, now this person's going to have to live the rest of their life with this pain and this sickness, all because of that one person. It's like, I don't think that's our God. I don't think our God's up there being like, well, Mitch, because you missed it, like this lady's going to have to walk around in bondage the rest of her life. And I don't think that's who he is. I think there's grace to cover that. And what really encouraged me by that was the lady that walked up on the stage swinging her cane, you know, saying, I've been totally healed. And I was like, really? Like, I had a lot of those moments where I'd pray for people and they'd say they're healed. And I was like, really? I mean, I remember the one person told me they're healed. And I was like, no, check it again. And they're like, checked it again. And I was like, check it again. Come on. Like, I don't think you're healed. And they would check it again and they would be healed, completely healed. And it just shows you that the kingdom of God was demonstrated to the people when Jesus walked around by signs, wonders, miracles, people being healed. And I believe we're coming into an age and a time when we're going to need that again. We're going to need people to encounter the kingdom of God in power, that they're healed, and it brings them into confrontation with the kingdom of God, where they have to then make a choice because they've seen it. Todd White came up to school, I think he's from around here, and some of you might have heard him talk, but he said, I was just watching a YouTube video of him, but there's a guy, and his leg was, one leg was shorter than the other. And all these kids are around in this restaurant, in the restaurant, I'm telling. All these kids were around in the restaurant, they swearing and saying, I don't believe this, blah, 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 and using all kinds of profanity and stuff like this. And he says, you guys come over here. I want you to watch this. That's what he says to him. Come over. I want you to see this. Sits him down and he says, have you ever seen a short leg grow? And they're like, no. And he says, watch this. He prays for the kid and the leg grows out right in front of everybody's eyes. And he says, there's a girl there. And she's like, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. He said, he turned around to her and he said, you've got to believe it because you just saw it. And he said, and you've got migraines, and God wants to heal your migraines. And he put his hand on her head, and she goes, what are you doing? What are you doing? She's like, what are you doing? She's like, I feel fire in my head. You know, and she was totally healed. And the confidence that Todd White has to say, hey, everybody, come around here. I want you to see this leg grow out. It's like, that's where we can be at. We can be that confident that God wants to heal people. When I went on my second mission trip to Mexico, I remember being in there, and I looked over at a lady, and I had an impression, I don't know what it is, you know, on the trip I did get some pain in my body for words of knowledge, but I felt like God said, that lady's got cancer, and I want to heal her. And this was before I even knew what words of knowledge were. And so I was like, I'm not praying for her. You know, I'm not going to go up and tell this lady she has cancer and, you know, she doesn't have cancer. And so I'm like praying for all these other people that I can find to pray for. And my friend comes over and he's like, hey, man, I really feel like we need to go pray for this lady. I don't have anything. Would you go with me and pray for her? And it was the lady that God said had cancer. And I was like, oh, man, like, okay, I'll go with you. So he starts praying. He prays for like 5 minutes. He's like, I don't have anything. Do you have anything? So I walk up to the lady and I was like, are you sick? And she goes, I have cancer. And I go, is it in your arm? And she said, yeah, it's in my arm. It goes all the way up here it goes all the way down my side and all the way up my arm. And I said, I know. God told me when I was standing over there that you had cancer and he wants to heal you. And tears just started pouring down this lady's face. And my friend's like, raise your arms up, you know? And he lifts her arms up and we pray for her. And she just starts going, psh, psh, like this with her arm, like, you know, this lady. And I'm like, and she's talking to me like blah, 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 in Spanish. And I'm like, whoa, slow down. I don't understand Spanish that much. You have to speak much slower. She said, when I came in here, I could only lift my arm up this high. When you prayed for me, after you prayed for me, something popped. And look what I can do with my arm. And that was the first and last time I've had a word of knowledge that I've recognized as a word of knowledge before this trip. And one of the things that was really, Randy's wanting to constantly grow in words of knowledge and stuff, because he says now he's 57 years old and a lot of the pains he gets in his body are his own pain now. So he doesn't want to say, hey, I've got a pain in my back and it's not a word of knowledge. It's actually because he's just getting older and he's getting pain too. So he's like, God, you're going to have to give me different ways to get words of knowledge. And he does still get a lot of pains. in his body, but he had the dream this on this trip about this man's hand and the splinters. And a couple other people had dreams on the trip. Some of the people on the trip had dreams about people, and then they would show up in the church that we went to. And in the dream, God would reveal what was wrong with the person and how they wanted to be healed, like the actual face of the person. And it's just amazing stuff. And so I had a dream this week once I got home. And I was driving in the car, and Linda was driving. And we start coming up to the stop sign. I'm like, Linda, there's a stop sign. We're going to want to turn right, Linda. And she turns to me. She says, Mitch, I know I can see. Because I was still directing her like we do when we walk her around the church. Like, Linda, there's going to be a door right here. Don't run into it. Linda, there's going to... And I was doing that as we're driving. And she turns to me and says, Mitch, I know I can see. I still have the picture of that. Me just sitting in the passenger seat, driving with Linda. And I think the thing that God's really challenging me on, God wants to heal. He wants to heal. We don't have to create a whole systematic theology about why he does and why he doesn't, because he wants to here and he doesn't want to there. He wants to, period. He wants to heal. And he wants to use you guys to heal people. One of the, I don't know if you guys have ever been into Walmart, see that guy with the arm in his sling. I mean, ever since I got here, it's like he's had that arm in the sling for 2 years. I don't know what's going on with that guy. You talk to him. Yeah, and you know what, Muzz? I think we don't even have to go to get him to come to church. We can go out there, like, because one of the things I felt like, but see, the cool thing about that is that it's not his faith. It doesn't matter what his faith is. One of the stories Todd White says is the one guy at that restaurant, when the kid's back gets totally healed, the girl's migraine goes, there's a kid over there, I don't believe this, blankety blank, 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 blank. And he goes, hey, you got a problem with your knee. He goes, how did you know that? How did you know that blankety blank? You know, and he goes, because God loves you and he wants to heal you. Didn't matter where the guy's faith was. Because what matters is that God wants to touch him. He says, come over here, sit down. Put your money where your mouth is. You don't believe this is true? Sit down. Let me pray for you. And it's not pride in Todd White. He says, it's because I know who my papa is. I know who my daddy is. I know what he wants to do for this person. Says he starts praying for the guy, and the guy just starts cussing. Something's going on. My leg's on fire. What are you doing? Stop it. Stop it. He's like, check your knee out. Guy stands up, and he's like, whoa. It's totally healed. But see, because it doesn't matter what the faith is of the person you're praying for. It matters. Our faith is what matters. So you can be in a room where everybody is totally disagreeing with you, but if you know that God wants to heal somebody, he can do it because he doesn't listen to everybody, what they say. I think there's times when there are times when we block it, but there's also times when God comes and he just wants to touch people because he wants to display his power. He wants to display his glory in the earth so that people have a decision to make. You know, the guy that picked up his mat and walked, Jesus said, pick up your mat and walk. He's laying there by the pool. And he said, been laying there for so long. And he's like, Jesus is like, do you want to be healed? He's like, yeah, I want to be healed, but I can't ever get in the water when the angel stirs the water. I can't ever get in. Jesus said, pick up your mat and walk. The guy picks up his mat and walks away. And they say, hey, you can't carry your mat. Today's Sunday. What are you doing? He said, the man that told me to pick up my mat and walk, that healed me, told me to pick up my mat and walk. That's what I'm doing. They said, who was it? He said, I don't know. He didn't even know that it was Jesus that told him to be healed. He just picked up his mat and walked. Jesus came and found him later and revealed himself to him. But he's in a hostile environment where everybody's against Jesus, you know, doing this, especially on Sunday. Can't do it on Sunday. And he still heals people. And he still does it today. He still wants to do it today. Because that kid had a choice to make. He experienced the power of God in his knee. He has a choice to make. Does he continue in his unbelief? Does he continue in his doubt? Does he continue in his skepticism? Does he continue in his criticism? Because now he's going against his conscience. Because his conscience acknowledges that his knee was healed. So now he's in tension with what he's believed and what he knows to be true, what he's experienced. I believe God wants to heal that guy in Walmart. Regardless of that guy's faith, when one of the guys came through to the school, he said, "Okay, I want you to do something to show God that you're going to walk out this thing." And I don't even remember what it was. First thing that came to my mind was this guy with the sling, and I haven't seen him since then. But I believe in God wants to heal him. I'm believing that God wants to heal people of sleep apnea in this place. There's too many people that's got to sleep with a machine in our church. I mean, the percentage of people in our church that have to sleep with a machine and help is ridiculous for the size we are, I think. I mean, I don't know, maybe every church has that same percentage, but I think God wants to heal people like that. God wants to heal Don's back. If he can take bars out of people's back and allow them to bend down and touch the ground, he can take a back that's crooked, Don, and make it straight. He can do it. God can heal Linda's eyes. Sure. So the pain's gone. It's awesome.
Let's just pray for me.
Yeah.
Let's put God to the test.
Pray for her hand. Let's pray for people. I want to. One of the things that happened on this trip was me being so sick. Everybody on the trip knew I was sick. I was having people pray for me. And this girl says, "Hey, you want to do inner healing for your cold?" And I was like, "No." I was thinking, "No, do you do inner healing for emotional pain and stuff like that?" So she's like, I was like, yeah, sure. We're on the bus going back. And we'll pray for people just in a minute. And she's like, okay, Jesus, show him where this allergies, this pain, this sickness has come in. She's like, how many times you get sick a year? I was like, 2-3 times a year I get a bad cold. And she's like, that's not normal. I was like, it's not? Like, I thought, you know, you just get 2 bad colds a year, 3 bad colds a year. So anyway, she's like, okay, Jesus is going to show you a picture. And I was like, I'm really, like, not into this. And so I'm like, I see grass. And she's like, okay, Jesus, why are you showing him grass? And I'm like, I'm mowing the grass. And she's like, okay, why is he mowing the grass? And I was like, I'm skeptical of the whole thing. And I was like, well, every time I would mow the grass in Texas, I would get really sick because we had a lot of leaves. And I would inhale, like, so much leaves and dust and stuff that I'd get really sick. And I would even wear one of those doctor's masks out to mow the grass because if I would wear one of those, I wouldn't get sick. She's like, okay, well, let's pray through that and stuff. And we prayed through that. And she's like, Jesus, let's see a picture of you in this. And so I was like, you know, I'm like, I see this really funny picture. I was like, oh, I see Jesus. He's standing there blowing the dust out of my face, like, and he'd run out of breath and he'd just start laughing and then take another breath and start blowing it again. And she's like, oh, that's funny. And I was like, yeah, that's funny. So then she's like, okay, let's do something else. Let's see if he wants to show you anything else. And I was like, okay. And so I closed my eyes. She's like, Jesus, do you want to show Mitch anything else? And I was like, yeah, I'm in India. She's like, okay, Jesus, why is he in India? And I had a picture of a boy sitting in front of me, sticking his fingers up my nose. And it really happened to me in India. The boy stuck his fingers up my nose. And I was like, what are you doing? He was sticking his fingers in my ears and in my mouth and stuff. And she said, Jesus, why do you want to show Mitch this picture? And Jesus reminded me of what the people said to me about the boy. They said, don't let him touch you. He's dirty. She goes, how did you feel when they told you that boy was dirty? And I said, my heart broke for him, you know, because I couldn't speak to him. I didn't know the language. And I just kept thinking about Jesus saying, suffer not the little children to come unto me. And she goes, well, what is it about India? And I was like, I think India's dirty. You know, it's just a dirty place. Like, there's dirt everywhere. Like, you can't stay clean in India. And she said, well, Jesus, what does that have significance? And I said, I think Brazil's like India. It's dirty. And she's like, okay, we'll pray through that. And throughout all that, she goes, do allergies run in your family? I said, well, my mom has real bad allergies. And she says, well, a lot of times allergies come in because of a spirit of fear. And it opens the door for allergies. So we prayed through that. And felt like the Lord said, I told her, I was like, I don't know why God would have shown me India, because I didn't have problems with my nose in India. I had problems with my stomach. I was sick the entire 6 months I was in India. And I just kind of accepted it. And as we were talking through it, she said, well, does anybody in your family have problems with their stomach? I said, yeah, my dad does. He's got a real weak stomach. And she said, well, huh? He says, not anymore. She says, well, do you still have a weak stomach? And I said, no, I don't have a weak stomach anymore. She said, what happened? I said, I stopped claiming it. I said, that's my dad's problem. That's not mine. He's got the weak stomach. I'm not accepting it. He rebukes those words. Good. That's what I said. I said, it's my dad's weak stomach. It doesn't have to be mine. Because a lot of times my dad say he didn't like something, and I didn't like it. He didn't like onions, I didn't like onions. He didn't like pepper, I didn't like pepper. He didn't like broccoli, I still don't like broccoli. So, but I like onions now. So anyway, she said, you stopped accepting it. And I was like, yeah, I just said, it's not mine. It can be my dad's, but it's not going to be mine. And she said, well, have you accepted this cold? And I said, I think it's hard for me to pray for people that I know that they're going to be healed eventually. You know, if I see somebody with a broken leg, like I know that a little bit we're going to take the cast off, the bone's going to be healed. So it's hard for me to pray for somebody like that, knowing that healing will eventually come through the course of time. And she said, you know, that's a lie that you're believing, that God doesn't want to heal right now. And I just repented of that. And there was I felt a lot worse before that. It was funny because everybody on our team was getting sicker and sicker and sicker and sicker. And as we went on the trip, I was getting better and better and better and better, even though we were sleeping like 3 to 4 hours a night. Most nights we weren't getting a lot of sleep or a lot of rest. Usually my body will wear down on something like that. So we just prayed on stuff like that. And then she goes, okay, let's, you know, you're feeling better. I was like, a little better, but not really. And I'm still skeptical about this whole thing. And she says, okay, let's ask God to show you another picture. And I was like, okay. She says, what do you see? And I go, you don't want to know what I see. She's like, what do you see? And I was like, you don't want to know. And she's like, tell me what it is. And I was like, I see a picture of a roll of toilet paper on fire. And she says, she just started laughing. I said, I told you didn't want to know. And I was like, that's really weird. I think we're off track. It's too late now. And she's like, let's see what God wants to say about it. So I was like, okay. So she's like, God, what do you want to say to Mitch about this roll of toilet paper? It's on fire. And I'm like waiting, and I hear like right away, God says, you're the roll of toilet paper. And I was like, gee, thanks. Like, that's really nice. Call somebody a roll of toilet paper. I was like, and all of a sudden in my eyes, I had my eyes closed. I saw the color purple. This is weird. Like, usually when I close my eyes, it's just black. See, just black. But the color purple flashed 2 times in my eyes. And I told her, I was like, I saw the color purple. She goes, well, purple signifies royalty. And she goes, and many times fire signifies, it represents the presence of God. And I was like, oh, that makes me feel better. Maybe it's not so bad that he called me a roll of toilet paper. She goes, okay, so let's ask him some more. And she's like, what do you want to say about this, God? This roll of toilet paper. Why did you call Mitch a roll of toilet paper? I felt like God asked me the question, what is toilet paper for? And I'm like, oh, my goodness, this is ridiculous. I'm praying with this girl, and this is the most disgusting pictures. You know, I'm just, this is gross. And I was like, she's like, what'd you hear? And I was like, nothing. You know, like, she's like, what'd you hear? And I was like, God just wants to know what's toilet paper for. And she's like, she starts laughing. She's like, okay. Like, she's like, what do you think toilet paper's for? And I was like, to remove waste. Like, because I had been blowing my nose in toilet paper all week. Like, I'd gone through rolls of toilet paper just standing in the bathroom. And I was thinking, I'll just go with that. It just removes waste. She goes, yeah. Yeah, that's good. So God wants to use you to remove waste, toxins, garbage in people's lives. And she said, let's look at something else. And what do you see now? And I said, I still see the roll of toilet paper. It's on fire. But the toilet paper is not burning up, and the toilet paper is not dirty. And she said, yeah, because the presence of God is there, and you're not going to get contaminated by all that stuff. And as I started thinking about waste, I was thinking about just garbage that's in us, like snot, mucus. One of the things God reminded me as we were praying through, he said, didn't you always say that if you could find a way to market mucus, you would be the richest man in the world? Like, and I said, yeah, I say that a lot. Like, because I have so much mucus. I'm like, man, if I could sell this stuff, I would be so rich. Like, but I don't know how to sell it. And I don't know, but maybe there's a use for it. So anyway, you know, yeah, you might be able to paint with it. I don't know. yeah. But anyway, we get this stuff in our bodies that's really garbage. It's trash. It's toxins. It's stuff that makes us sick. It's not supposed to be in there. I believe God wants to get it out. But I also believe one of the things that he said about waste was that what else do people waste? And I was thinking time. You know, people waste time. There's so much wasted lives, and there's so many wasted years in people's lives, and I feel like God's saying he wants to redeem that. He wants to redeem all those years that you feel like you've wasted and that you're not qualified, now to serve God because you've done this and you've done that and you've done this and you've done that and now you're this old. God's saying, I can still use you. I can still move through you. I can still be God. I can still show up and use you to pray for the people that are sick and see them healed. And so if you've got garbage, trash, toxins, stuff in your body that's not supposed to be there, like me, let's just stand up. Let's just pray. Who needs it? Yeah, stand up. If you got something, allergies. Rich, URI, come on, man. Just told me this morning. I'm like, how you doing, Rich?
I'm not doing good.
What's wrong with you? He's like, I got an upper respiratory infection. I was like, good. Good, Rich. Because it's like a twisted way of thinking. But I'm thinking, God wants to heal Rich. Like, and I thought about it later. I was like, I just told Rich it was good that he is sick. That's weird. Like, you don't tell people that that's good. Your foot, yeah. Carolyn walks in limping. I was like, are you limping? She's like, yeah. I was like, good. Like, it's weird. Anybody else? Anything that you got? Yeah, I think God wants to do some stuff this morning. Linda, I want my faith to be increased to see it. I'm up for you driving me somewhere. Huh? Me first. It happened in my dream. And God was saying words of knowledge for people in dreams, and maybe that's how he had to speak to me because I'm so closely connected to Linda. I don't want it to just be me. Anybody else? You got something? Well, here's what we're going to do. If you're sick, I want you to check where you're sick at. Or if you got pain, I want you to check where you got pain at. We're just going to go for it this morning. And if you start feeling heat or fire, I just want you to put one hand up in the air. If you start feeling cold, or if your pain increases, put your hand up in the air. If you don't have something like that, then we can't do that. And if you get 80% better or more, I want you to wave both hands at me. But God, let's just pray and just believe that God wants to heal some people this morning. God, we just want to say that you're the same God. God, it's on the wall that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. But God, may it be a reality in our lives, God, right now, that we would experience the same God. The same God that was in Brazil, the same God that walked among the masses 2,000 years ago and healed every single person who had a disease, every single person who had an infirmity, every single person who was brought to him that had demons in him. God, it says you delivered them all. God, even the people that were ungrateful, even the people that didn't believe, God, you healed. God, because you're good and because you love people. And God, I just release a spirit of healing right now in the name of Jesus. God, and I just command pain to leave right now in the name of Jesus. Pain go in Jesus' name. It has to come under submission of the authority in the name of Jesus, and it's got to leave in Jesus' name. It can't stay in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, pain has got to leave. In the name of Jesus, infection has got to go in Jesus' name. Respiratory infection has got to leave in the name of Jesus. It can't stay. God, we just release sight right now in the name of Jesus. God, we just ask you for a creative miracle. God, what the doctors destroyed, God, we ask you to recreate right now in the name of Jesus. God, we ask you to go in. God, you did it for those people in Brazil. God, even people that had glass eyes, God, you gave them sight. So, God, we just ask you to do it this morning. God, we believe that you are speaking, God, Jesus, and that you're giving words of knowledge, God, that you want to heal. God, that it's your desire to heal. God, that there's never a time that you don't want to heal your children. God, that when your children come and ask you for bread, you don't give us a stone. God, when we ask you for fish, you don't give us scorpions. God, Jesus, you're not like that. God, we declare that you are good in this place. pay attention to your bodies. Don't pray. Just receive what God wants to do for you. Don't pray and ask God to heal you. Don't pray in tongues. If you pray in tongues, just wait before the Lord and just pay attention to your body and see if anything's happening. If you feel heat, feel fire, feel cold, you feel tingly, electricity, just Jay, are you feeling something? What do you feel? You feel cold? Where? Okay. Is that where your pain is? Okay. Okay. How is the stiffness right now? It's gone. Thank you, Jesus. Sometimes you might have to move your body to see if you're better. So if your back was hurting or if your foot was hurting, you might want to move it around and see if it's any better. What? Nothing? God does. That's awesome. God, we just ask you to bless what you're doing in Jay. And we just say, God, would you complete it 100%, God, that the stiffness would not be able to return, the pain would not be able to return. God, that you would realign the hips. God, you would realign it with the back and with the legs. God, that everything would come into alignment just like it is in the kingdom of God, that it would come into alignment here on earth. And we just thank you, God. We're going to, Mom, if you want to go play or something or something, we're just going to say, if you want to come forward for healing, you want God to heal you. Sometimes some of the people that we gave words of knowledge for down there weren't healed right away. We had to actually lay hands on them and pray. So if you guys want to be healed this morning, we just love to pray for you. Mary Ellen can come pray. If you want to pray for people, go ahead. But just, here's what I want you to do as you pray for people. I want you to just stop and ask them how they're doing. Like, ask them if they feel anything. Because if they feel something, you want to bless that because that's God moving in them. So just ask them to check their bodies and check their pain because I believe God wants to heal some people here this morning.
Discomfort.